Welcome to the Delvin Cox Experience, the podcast in which each week I am on a one-man mission to unite our culture through diversity. I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and I have two, count them, two special guests with me. Let them know who you are, brothers.
So I think I'll start this off. My name is Eric Weinstein, also known as the Dollar Store Dom. I am one of the hosts of a lovely little podcast we like to call 69 Whiskey, and I am joined here on the Devlin Cox Experience by my co-host.
What's going on, everybody? It is the head advocate of the Big Titty Committee, Motorboat and Matt Michalowski. It's great to be here today.
That almost turned to a whole other world. You would have got a whole nother fan base coming after you.
good. I guess that's good.
As always, we like to start the podcast off with the five for five. Five questions, five asks to get the ball rolling. Guys, are you ready?
Absolutely. I am ready. Absolutely.
All right. Question number one for each of you. What is the best album or song you listened to in the past year? And it does not have to be new.
I'll start this one off. Okay. I'm going to go with the Alice in Chains Dirt album. I got that for Christmas, I think, last year or somewhere around that time. And I really, really enjoy that album. I'm a big Alice in Chains fan, so I think I'll go with that one being my favorite as of recently. It just has a lot of great songs on there.
Okay. I haven't heard that name in a while. Alice in Chains, yeah.
They still put out music, but yeah, depending on how you feel about the new singer, I guess it's subjective, but I still enjoy what they've put out.
I feel like rock, heavy metal, and that type of music is like, I don't want to quantify Alice in Chains under that, but I'm just saying that type of music is the only type of music you can like, hey, we're going to change the lead singer in it, and everybody's going to be fine with it for the most part. Like, you can't do that in hip-hop. You can't be like, hey, here's the new rapper for the Roots. We're going to replace Questlove, or we're replacing members of the Wu-Tang Clan. You guys should be fine with it now. I feel like rock is the only type of genre that could do that.
I mean, NWA probably got along relatively well after Ice Cube left, right?
Yeah, but it was still the core members of the group. They didn't just like, hey, here's the new Ice Cube.
I think it more depends on the band that you have, because I know that Hinder, another rock group, when they tried to replace their lead singer, I thought their music went to shit.
I 100% agree. 100% okay. Agree. Hinder hasn't been good since the OG lead singer left.
Journey did that too, if I'm correct.
Yes, there's been a lot of bands that have changed lead singers, but I think that the big issue is you lose the people that are writing the songs, and that's the big core issue. When you lose somebody that's actually writing the lyrics and stuff, that's when the bands fall apart, because it's the way that the lyrics are put together that honestly makes songs so unique.
I'll also throw in Van Halen when David Lee Roth left, and then they got Sammy Hagar. It's a completely different band as far as I'm concerned, because you lose Roth, you lose probably one of the greatest frontmen of all time. For any band.
I agree.
So I'm going to put up an album and a single song, because
be my guest.
So my favorite album that was released this year was released by a band that doesn't technically exist, a band called Pentakill. They released their first full album and did an online digital concert. It was fantastic. I wish they had done it in VR, but unfortunately, they decided to just do it as a kind of YouTube stream. It was really cool. And then my favorite song has been What Could Have Been off of the Arcane soundtrack. from the Netflix series that was just released.
I have not watched that yet. Everybody keeps telling me that show's good.
Oh my God. See, for me personally, I've been playing League of Legends since my daughter was born in 2010.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It's been a long, long while that I've been playing League of Legends. And I, like every other League of Legends fan, I will say this. The game is awful, but the lore is fantastic. And the stories and everything that they produce, that everything that's not the physical game of League of Legends, I am absolutely in love with.
Interesting.
I will say this much on top of that. I don't play League of Legends. I don't play games like that. And I never even thought about watching Arcane. But when you were watching a specific episode, and I won't spoil it for you out of respect, Delvin, I'd say about 10 minutes of the show had elapsed. So I had come in late. You were watching it, Eric, in our Discord. And as soon as I like hopped in and started watching, I was immediately hooked. For some reason, I've never done that before, but for this specific episode I was watching, I couldn't take my eyes off the screen because I wanted to know what was going to happen next.
It is, it's a really good show, and I will say this, on a level that, on a human level, it's a good show. On a level of somebody who understands the lore, it's a fantastic show.
Okay. So it's kind of like Castlevania then.
Yeah. It's dead on. If you know the lore and you know the stuff, it's 1,000 times better, and you have so many more layers of stuff to dissect. But if you don't know any of the lore or any of the background information, it's still a beautiful story to watch and dissect.
Okay. I like that. Okay.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the show all like culminates at the end with this amazingly done song that just, it hits you on an emotional level as a human being. Like, everybody has had wants and desires in their life and has wanted more from life. And this is a song and a situation that resonates with anyone who's ever felt like the world has done them wrong. And there's probably hundreds, if not thousands of or millions of people who feel like that.
You got me excited to watch the show. Now I got to check it out just to hear the song, at least to the bare minimum.
I mean, so there's another song in it that I think you're going to, that you're personally going to really love.
Okay.
It's called Diamonds, Dynasties, Then Dystopias.
Okay.
And it's it's a really gritty song about like basically standing up for your place in society. But the opposite view of it is these are two very, very good friends that started out as kids fighting in a life and death situation on a bridge right now. And it is such a cool moment.
Yeah, I'm excited for this now. I like it. I like it a lot. All right. Question number two. This may be an easy one or a very difficult one, depending on how savvy you are. In your own words, what the hell is an NFT?
From what I understand, it's just a piece of artwork that is only... could be only for one specific person, or there could be a select amount of them. And you can basically use these as some sort of fucking currency through Bitcoin or whatever the other coins are. I don't know. I listened to a full podcast about this from Chris Jericho a few weeks ago, and I still don't fully understand it. And this guy was a fucking, that he had on the show was a smart dude at this, and I still don't get it.
Good answer. I'll accept that answer. You got an answer, Eric?
I'm going to use an answer from one of my personal idols, Elon Musk. It's a hustle. It's a hustle.
That might be a better answer than me. Yeah. That's a better answer than mine ever could be.
Yeah, that kind of sounds accurate. I can't even argue that. Yeah.
That's the best knowledge I got. I do audio production. NFTs, whole new line of work for me.
Yeah, NFTs sound like some made up shit.
It came out of nowhere, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it did. It really did. All right, question number three, a fun question for both of you guys. What's the dumbest thing you both done as a kid?
I know what I've listened to the show and I know what I want to say, but it's very fucking embarrassing.
As long as you don't get us arrested for what you say.
No. I want to get you arrested. Go ahead. Let's put it this way. As a kid, you know, I'm trying to find the words. Let's put it this way. As a baby, as a toddler slash baby.
Okay.
I shit my pants. And to get the shit out of my pants, I threw it into my kitchen.
That's fine. You're a toddler.
A toddler. You can get away with that.
Okay.
If you were like, I was 23 years old, and I shit my pants and then threw it in the kitchen. Like, whoa.
That's not a good move.
Then I'd be considered an invalid because I can't even change myself. So
yes.
Well, I'll throw out the things that I'm not so proud of anymore in my older age. I've been banned from 3 different churches with good reason.
Churches?
Okay, I didn't know.
Okay, hold up.
Yes.
So now let me clarify. This is churches in terms of the place where people go to serve God, not the fried food, fried chicken place, right?
Yep.
Okay.
In the place where people praise Jesus.
Okay.
The ones that were my own doing and my own cognizant decision and made really, really bad decisions in retrospect, but they were funny decisions, in my opinion.
Okay.
So.
You know, church is supposed to accept like everybody, right?
Yeah.
This man be excommunicated the second he walked in the door. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah. So, you ever watch wrestling growing up?
I love wrestling. I watch it today. I still watch wrestling.
Good. So, I'm a big wrestling fan. I did wrestling school. I've done independent shows. But when I was a kid, I was a huge Undertaker fan.
Okay.
And as we you know how he rolls his eyes into the back of his head?
Yes.
Well, I can do the same thing. And I thought it was really, really cool.
Yes, so, it is. You have to do that now. That is impressive. That is really impressive.
Yeah, it's real easy for me. So I walk into a church with at least one or two of my wrestling buddies. And note, another one of my friends, this is their church. So as we walk in the door, I make sure my wrestling friend is behind me. I roll my eyes into the back of my head. I trust fall backwards and I go, "This one is not yours."
Yeah. That'll do it.
Yep. So that was the first church I was banned from.
But how did you get banned from it off of that, though?
Because they thought he was possessed.
because the church ladies in the pews were going, oh my God, he's possessed by Satan.
I knew it. They thought he was possessed. They thought he was the devil.
Holy water, no. Hey,
please tell me they threw holy water on you.
Yes.
Oh my God. And you never explained to them in this whole ordeal that you can just roll your eyes back?
No, no. I sat there and I continued twitching.
Yeah, I'm quite sure that made it a lot better.
I sold the joke. Sold the joke.
Keeping it kayfabe, as
you know what? Bravo. Well played.
Now, number two, little bit more understanding why I was banned for life for this one. Same story, friend's church. Going with another like wrestling friend because we were really, really dumb back in these days.
Okay.
In the parking lot, he sprays me down with Axe body spray.
Yes.
And you know where this is going.
Yeah. Nothing good comes from Axe body spray. Nothing.
Walk in the front door. Into the church's like lobby area. He's behind me with a lighter and he sets my ass on fire.
What?
I go up in flames and I shout at the top of my lungs while running out the door. Wrong door, wrong door, wrong door, wrong door. Sorry, bye.
How have you never told me this?
I could have sworn I've told you this.
Never told me this at all. I've known you for 4 or 5 years now. I've never fucking known this.
That is amazing.
And then the final bad decision. And the most amazing of bad decisions.
I hope it's the one I think.
Is one worse than the one that just happened?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is
the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to finish with my piece de resistance of me getting banned from churches. So, while I was in high school, I was dating, I had fooled around with a preacher's daughter. And one day, it was so decided that we were going to go to the church and fill up the baptismal tub. And we drive over all innocent like, and she decides to splash me with the water. And I splash her back.
Oh no.
And the next thing I know, I'm fucking the preacher's daughter in the baptismal tub.
Oh no. What?
It gets worse.
Oh, it gets worse?
Yes, it does. It does. Because then she neglected to drain the water after we were done, and that was the water that was used to baptize people the next day. So when she texted me to tell me this as I was coming to pick her up, my response was, well, if there's any immaculate conceptions, God is not the father.
That's one of my favorite stories he's ever told.
So the reason I was banned for that one is because she got into a fight with her dad a couple of months later and told him this story.
Why did she snitch?
Why did she talk? I didn't know she talked.
Because she got into a fight with her father and went, oh, yeah, you're going to hurt me? I'm going to say this. I did this in your church. And then I
never in your holy water.
Never in the right mind, no matter how angry I would get, would I ever admit to that.
Never.
I'm sorry. That's a dumb fucking move on her part.
Out of all things to admit through.
And I took the fall. I'm the one banned from the church for life.
Yeah, because you jizzed in holy water.
I mean, understandable.
People out here getting baptized in jizz water. Oh my God.
When you put it like that, it's even funnier.
Yeah. Oh my God. I just out here blessing people with the jizz water. Like, just go with God, my son. Just put jizz on the head. No.
The Father, Son, the Holy Nut.
I can't believe this is the actual story.
I bless you, my son.
You didn't even say the best part. What do you call those group of people that got baptized that day?
Oh my God, I forget this joke. Oh my God,
the Church of Eric Weinstein.
Yeah, that'll do it.
They were baptized, maybe not by the God they were expecting, but they got a God. And they can talk to him.
Yeah. Wow. I couldn't imagine being that pastor and just find out that you just like baptized your whole church with jizz water.
Yeah, she started listing off all the places that she had like done stuff with me. It was real bad.
Yeah, that's.
I still don't know why she would admit to that.
Because when you're young and dumb, you say dumb things to your parents.
No one's dumb enough to admit where they fucked to their parents.
There's shit I did in high school that I will take to my motherfucking grave.
Exactly.
Like, they will never know.
She needs to take that to the grave, and she didn't, and that's on her.
Man, I have an open door policy with my parents. They ask me a question, I'll answer.
Nah.
But then again, the things that I get into are bad.
Yeah.
You think? You think? Yeah.
You're banned from three churches.
Yeah, they're supposed to be the forgiving ones.
Yeah? I don't know if I can forgive just my holy water. There's certain things I'm like, oh, I can forgive that. Jizz in the holy water. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that one.
We started with fake possession. We went to spontaneous combustion in a church. Yeah. And we finished with jizz in the holy water. Yeah. It's the trifecta.
Yeah. And I'm thinking you're going to say something like, my friend threw me off the top of a church trying to mimic the Hell in a Cell match. No, it's far worse what you did. I'd rather be thrown off a church than be sprayed with jizz holy water.
I've run wrestling shows inside of churches. They're completely fine with all of the stupid bullshit. You jack off a little bit in their holy water, they get real upset.
Yeah, that may be a problem. Just a little jizz in the holy water, yeah. You're upsetting some people.
Some vaginal juices. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. That is wild. I don't think I can talk. What? We've
hit the show there. We've hit the climax.
Literally.
All right. Question number four. If you could pick anyone to be your wingman for one night, who are you picking?
Part of me wants to say you, Eric, but at the same time, some of the advice that you've given me, I'm not fully on board with, so I might have to consider another one.
I've got somebody in mind.
Okay.
Who can that be?
Anyone you want, by the way.
I've got two really good ones in mind.
Okay.
Number one is the angel that is Ryan Reynolds, because let's be honest, that man could like charm anyone. And if you're gonna have anybody be your wingman, have it be motherfucking Ryan Reynolds. But if I can't get Ryan Reynolds, I want my number two guy, who taught me all of like the awful things that I'm supposed to say and do when in a actual bar. And that is one Andrew motherfucking Dice Clay.
Okay. I like both of those choices. both of those will lead to very different women, I feel like.
Exactly, exactly. Because as one Mr. Andrew Dice Clay once said, if I seen her, I bangs her.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What's very funny? Different caliber of women between Andrew Dice Clay and... And Ryan Reynolds.
I swim in all those different fish ponds, and boy, oh boy, are they fun either way you run in them.
All right, Matt, who you got? I'll let you pick two since.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got to get two choices here, right? All right, I guess I'll pick Eric as one of them because he does offer some good advice. I don't agree with all of it, but he does offer some good advice.
Okay.
Number two would probably be Johnny Sins.
Okay, give me your reasoning.
Have you...
Listen. No. I get it. Porn stars get ass. And but
here's my reason, though. Because Johnny Sins, as far as I've been made aware anyway, or at least I've heard about him in interviews, like he's a really like reserved, shy guy, and I'm kind of like in that caliber, too. Like, if I can have him... If a porn star can do what he does being the type of guy he is... I think he'd make a good wingman for me, personally.
Huh.
Interesting,
yeah.
You never think that. But, I mean, for what I understand, he's always been like a kind of shyer type of guy, from what I've heard.
See, my thing is, I don't want to do any of the goddamn work, so I'd much rather have my wingman be, like, the most charismatic individual on the face of the planet, because... Let's be honest, I'm really good at playing the asshole wingman. I'm good at making other people look great, but I am terrible at making myself look good.
I think that's important to have a good wingman who's charismatic and at the same time, not approachable. What I mean by that is the girl would not want to sleep with you. No, she can't sleep with your wingman, but she's willing to date you.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's sound choices.
One of the things that I learned from like my growing up in like the Washington area of bar hopping and stuff was that if you are a picky individual about like who you're trying to make a connection with and the person that you're trying to bring home, having the charismatic person next to you makes that fishing game of cat and mouse and communication so much easier. But if you're actively trying to just bring somebody home, playing the dickhead card works amazing.
Take notes, people.
Take notes.
Definitely. All right. Question number five. Zombie apocalypse happens Walking Dead style. You can only take five things to go out in the world and survive. Family and pets don't count because they automatically go with you. If you don't want them to go with them, we'll go with you. Fuck them. They die. So what are the five things you're taking to go into the surviving the world?
I'll start. A sniper rifle to pick off any long range targets and possibly people, because as we've seen, if we're using The Walking Dead as an example, people are just as much of a threat as the actual zombies are.
That is very true.
So if they don't know you're there, they won't see what's coming.
Case.
Number two. A Lancer from Gears of War.
That's a good weapon.
Because you like got the Lancer. You have an assault rifle and a fucking chainsaw in one for close quarters combat. It's going to get a little messy, but I think you'll be okay.
I like the Lancer. The Lancer's a really good weapon. Very heavy.
I'm sure it'd be very heavy. I can imagine probably very heavy with that giant chainsaw there.
Yeah. But a very good weapon.
As far as a melee weapon goes, I would probably pick an axe because it's throwable. And it seems like it may hit its target a little bit better than maybe like a knife would, in my opinion. Because I've seen like axe throwing and shit. I mean, throwing an axe is probably a little bit more easier than a knife would, in my opinion. It takes a little bit more training.
And axes as far as are hard to throw.
They are?
Yeah, they are. Well, knives are hard to throw too, but axes are hard to throw.
But axes are a little bit bigger, so there's not as much margin for error, I would think.
Yes.
And I guess no longer with weapons, I would want to take a CD player with me. You know, find any CDs out in the world. You got to have some sort of entertainment there, or like a record player or something along those lines. Either or would kind of work in that scenario. And a lighter.
Okay. There's your five.
Eric, I don't know. Eric, I don't know. You're giving me faces over here. I don't know what you're
talking about. I'm watching it. I want to hear Eric's responses. Yeah.
I've learned that I'm not bringing Mish along with any of my zombie apocalypse plans.
Okay. Fuck you.
Because he's apparently more of a liability than he is useful. Because just real quick so that I can get this out of the way. Mish, do you know what the primary function of the chainsaw on the front of a Lancer is used for?
Dismemberment. What else?
No. It's for breaching doors and opening up locked areas and getting into hard to get to locations.
Also very useful if you have to loot someplace.
So the reason why it's not used for dismemberment, so that you understand this, is because when a chainsaw revs up, it pulls the way that the Lancer is designed, it pulls the things towards the user in the kind of let me chainsaw through somebody. And you know what happens to all of those bone fragments when you use a chainsaw on somebody like that? They become shrapnel. They rip the person apart who's using it. So if you read the Gears of War books, people actually do that and get fucking murdered, and they murder themselves by using the chainsaw like a jackass.
Someone's read the Gears of War books.
We're also talking about an actual person that's healthy versus a zombie that's already deteriorated to the point where that
bones
may or may not be an issue.
Still bones. They will still fuck your day up. They will still kill you.
Body armor.
Yeah, okay. So, my zombie apocalypse gear, a massive rucksack to hold all of my stuff in.
Okay.
That I scavenge from around the zombie apocalypse. A katana for when bullshit. For when bullshit gets stupid, and they hold an edge pretty well. I'm not talking about like the Walmart katanas or the ones you buy in the friggin' mall. I mean actual real hard steel forged katana.
Okay, yeah.
Done correctly. A bow and arrow.
Okay.
Because I can always make more arrows, and let's be honest, I don't want to make lots of noise in a zombie apocalypse, and guns are bad decisions, as I've seen in the past.
That's three.
And he's blanked
out. A drone?
Okay, a drone. Okay, what's the drone for?
Well, I have this lovely little drone personally already that I put the I connect it to my phone real quick and send it up into the air, and I can literally see like everything from in like 100-mile radius. So, I mean, it's easy to plot out routes when you know what's going on around you.
You do realize there's probably going to be no electricity or cell phone service for your drone, right?
Well, I did say it's the start of the zombie apocalypse. So I don't.
Okay, that's fair. That's so fair.
It will be around for.
But if we're talking long term, it's not going to be useful after a while.
Well, here's the other thing. Here's my other side of it that I'm gonna that I'm gonna blow your mind with. One of those flashlight battery things.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You shake it up and it generates electricity, and you use it to power up the flashlight. Well, my crazy ass is technically savvy enough that I might be able to find a way to turn that into a way to charge my drone.
Huh?
That'll be impressive. I'll believe it when I see it.
And then finally, some sort of like water bottle with a purifier in it to make sure that I can get some fresh water.
That's smart.
Because food may be a little bit difficult to come by, but I'm going to need to make sure that I'm getting at least some water into my system so I don't die.
Yeah, you need water. So you don't want to dehydrate and die. That would really suck.
Yeah, and I think that's five.
Yeah, that's five.
That's five, yeah.
Good five.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Good. None of mine have any downsides, and we're looking good on the survival scale.
I took the more offensive take. Just because I wanted to get ahead of the game, but I guess it seems like your take may be a little bit smarter than mine was. Although I still think you might need the sniper.
I'll see you when you run out of ammo.
You won't know I'm there.
That's fine. The zombies will. They'll hear you coming.
All right, brothers.
You only have five shots.
Let me ask you. Let's get into it. One, let everybody know what your podcast is about, first and foremost, for those who don't know.
You want to try this?
I'll let you go. I did it the last time.
All right. So, for those of you that don't know, we are 69 Whiskey, a show about generally having fun in safe ways. We discuss everything from bar etiquette, different sort of drinks that you can get at a bar, to different sort of kink fetishes and safe kink play in dungeons and all sorts of other fun and exciting methodologies. We cover polyamory, trans issues, LGBTQ, anything and everything that comes to our doorstep, and everything that gets you excited and or happy, we try to cover it.
So let me ask this before you guys move on. How did you come up with the name 69 Whiskey? Because that's a fascinating name.
The in-joke continues to spread, and I have to continue to tell people about this. So the name of 69 Whiskey is actually part of a military joke, because I'm not sure if you know this, but before I went to college, I did 5 years in the United States Army being a forward observer for the field artillery.
That's impressive.
But one of the big things while you're in the military is that every job in the military has to have a letter and two numbers. So like my job in the military, I was a 13 Foxtrot, which was 13F. So while going around and doing all sorts of different things, every so often, soldiers would go out, find themselves a female, and the girl would be in and out of the barracks, sleeping with whatever soldier that they were sleeping with. And every now and then, some of them would decide that they were going to start sleeping with other soldiers and other soldiers and other soldiers.
Well, they get around.
Yes, yes. So those are what we call barracks rats or 69 whiskeys. Also known as Joe Ho's, plenty of other names.
My personal favorite is the G.I. Ho.
But yeah, so the joke of that is that, what do you call an army whore? A 69 whiskey.
There we go. So how did you guys meet? How did you come up with the podcast and all this stuff? Let's hear the fun stuff about this.
I'll touch on this a little bit. I can't say too much on his account because he had already started the show. 69 Whiskey started out as a college radio show at our college at Rider University. And the running joke that we kind of like to have is the show that was once restrained by FCC rules and restrictions is basically coming to the internet as raw and as unapologetic as ever, because a lot of stuff that we say on the show, we probably couldn't say on, you know, public radio. So he was doing the show for a while. Around my sophomore year, I started to work at the radio station and met him, and we became good friends. Like I said, over the course of about 4 or 5 years now, we've been going on.
Yeah.
And when he graduated, because I graduated before him, you were more or less content to let the show kind of fizzle out. You let it run its course.
So when I first started the show, my idea was that I was a mature individual, a mature-ish individual, and I had gone out and experienced the world a little bit, and I was coming back to this college setting where all of these kids were just trying to figure out all of the things that I had just spent so many years in Washington State figuring out. And I came up with a show that would educate these kids on the stuff that I wish that I had known when I was going into those formative years, that I wish I understood going into bars and stuff, where I would sit down and try to talk to somebody and get completely blown off, where taking different approaches and coming up with different ways of looking at situations and understanding other people's points of view in those situations would be beneficial to young kids of that generation. So I did the show. I thought that it had gone its full course and I was washing my hands of it, and I had actually given it away to the group of people that were basically my co-hosts at the time, and they did nothing with it. So it just kind of, it was going to fizzle out and die without me. And I was fine leaving it like that. And the pandemic kicked off and I get a phone call from this Putz, and I'll let you take over.
So I was working in professional radio at the time, and then the pandemic hit. I lost my job. So I figured to myself, fuck it. I want to keep my skills sharp. What's one way I can start doing things like that again?
Let me
ask, podcast.
what professional radio station you were working at or what job you're doing at the radio station?
I can't say the name of the station, but I will say the job I was doing, I was essentially a promotions assistant trying to move up to a more promotions coordinator type of role because someone was leaving that position. So that automatically meant they were going to start interviewing for it. Eric had actually interviewed for it as well because he was actually an intern at the time at the station.
Okay.
So for once I was his boss.
In my opinion, if COVID didn't hit, you were on a fast track to being my bitch again.
As much as I hate to admit it, he's probably right. But so when I lost my job, I gave you a call and I said, hey, we're both not doing anything in radio. Let's start a podcast and let's revive 69 Whiskey because now we actually have free range to say whatever the fuck we want to say. So that's what we've kind of been doing from 2020 onward to now. We're, I think, over the course of the last 15 months, we've garnered probably close to 3,500 downloads, 55 episodes at the time of this recording of this show. And, you know, we've even ranked up on a couple of apps to like number one for a few categories, which is really cool for us.
That's awesome. You know,
yeah, and you know, it is really cool, and I'm really proud of it. I'm sure Eric is as well too, because you know, Delvin, that the average podcast probably goes about like less than 10 episodes, and that's kind of fizzles out because people think they're going to be Rogan overnight, thinking that their idea has never been done before. Oh my God, true crime! That's something that's completely new.
Yeah,
that's a fucking lie. So, yeah. We've kind of been taking it slowly but surely. Obviously, in our DM chats that you know you and I are in with a few other people, you've given me plenty of advice, and we've taken advice from other people outside of that have been helpful. So we're just kind of going slowly but surely. You know, obviously, we have a lot of goals for this year, but we're looking forward to seeing where we can take the show to another level.
That's awesome. You know, podcasting is unique because it's one of those things where one, everybody does a podcast, but what's unique about it and cool to me about it is everybody can add their own flavor to what their podcast is that makes it unique. And I think that's where it gets lost on people because yeah, everybody does their own podcast. Yes, there's 1,000 true crime podcasts and stuff like that, or whatever you want to say it is, but there's only one you. And what you bring to the table with that. Now, I will always appreciate that aspect of podcasting in terms of how you can build your own audience that caters and fits your style. And people, it's basically podcasting is a personality game, essentially. If you have the personality that's going to attract people, the people are gravitate towards, you're going to get listeners. If you don't, you're not necessarily going to get listeners, but that's fine because podcast is a space where you can have 10 listeners and do just fine, or you can have thousands of listeners and do fine. I always appreciate that about podcasting. And it's cheap to do.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
It's relatively cheap to start out. I mean, hell, when we started out, Eric, we were at your old apartment, and we just had the one microphone and us sitting in a room sweating our asses off because your apartment was hot as balls, and we had to turn the fan off to prevent all the background noise.
Yeah, it was an oven in there.
Oh, it was terrible. But, you know, obviously, since you're no longer at that apartment, we've kind of moved into a different sort of realm, which is kind of using Discord, which is something we already use anyway. So by using Discord, we at least have an opportunity and recording through OBS where we can still do the show. And, you know, we don't have to be in person. Obviously, one of our goals eventually, it may not even happen this year, but definitely down the line, is to do a studio where we can kind of get back into that in-person sort of deal. But, you know, there's no rush for that.
I mean, at this point, we're also looking into the possibility of using a different platform to do recording because of higher audio fidelities on other platforms. But it all depends on what the future holds, because would I like to eventually create my own studio and produce my own stuff? Absolutely. I've been working my ass off to be able to create a venue that I can make dreams come true. I've got, I recently bought multiple 3D printers that I've been teaching myself how to use. I've been buying STL files with merchant licenses so that we can produce unique merchandise for that is directly from us. Recently, in addition to all of the other stuff that we've been doing, I started selling my DM services as a dungeon master for D&D on websites to try to drum us up some like popularity and other avenues of doing stuff.
That's pretty smart. That is actually really smart. I have a friend who does dungeon master DM, and she's pretty good at it. It's a unique and cool way to build an audience. It's always fun. I've only played one time, but I had a blast doing it. Like it's awesome.
Oh, I'll have to take you through Jurassic Park one of these days.
I'm down. I'm definitely down.
Yeah, oh, man. That was my first D&D experience when you put me through Jurassic Park and I essentially ended the world.
You know what, Mish? You know what we should do one of these days?
What should we do?
I think one of these days we should get like a bunch of like guests that have been on our show and a bunch of guests of people shows that we've been on. And just run one of the stupid D&D sessions for the podcast one week.
That'd be fun. I think that'd be fun. Could be fun. And it's a good way to, you know, have everybody interact. I was gonna say, I think one of my favorite aspects about podcasting over the course of the last year and a half or so that we've been doing it is that we've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of cool fucking people. I mean, for instance, Delvin, you and I have been more or less chatting in our group chats and stuff since I got in there. I'm the guy running the Twitter account, so it's nice to actually officially meet you. So yeah, that's cool. It's cool for me. We've talked to guys like Jody B, local neighborhood baby, a few other people outside of that group. We've actually literally met D&D cam girls, which is also epic, and they're the most beautiful people on the face of the planet.
My favorite porn stars on the internet.
That's high praise. That is high praise.
But so it's just fun that we've gotten to meet and interact with so many people, and we're going to continue to do that because we got a lot of stuff lined up. So I was going to say
the fucked up part is I don't even watch them for the actual porn. I watch them because they're funny.
But yeah, I appreciate how podcast during this time of the pandemic and stuff like that, podcasting kind of keeps us all together. When it even like what it was 2020, where everybody was stuck in the house, we couldn't go nowhere. Like that was the crucial time where if you were a podcaster, you didn't feel alone because you were always talking to some damn body. And it was cool around that time because it felt like during that period of time, everybody was just ready to come on a podcast. It was like the easiest time to get guests on podcasts because people ain't had shit to do. They were just sitting at home all day. So I'm like, hell yeah, come on your podcast.
You got a show? I want to talk to somebody. Anybody, please talk to me. Talk to me. Oh my God. I just need some social interaction because if I don't see anybody besides the people on the TV, I'm going to kill the bitch in the other room.
It kind of was like that. Like I remember specifically, like I was in during that period of time, I did not even have to ask people to come on the podcast. People would just message me randomly like, hey, can I come on your podcast? I'm like, yeah, sure. Who are you?
What do you do?
Who are you, by the way? I don't worry about that. We can talk about it when you get to fucking like, maybe I should know who you are first, but cool. We can try it.
You know, it's an even more wild concept though, come to think of it. And not to think of it in a negative light, but like with how many podcasts maybe have started up from 2020, imagine how many of them have probably gone away because they realize it's either too much work or life picked back up for them and they have no time for it anymore. I think the thing that worked for us was that, one, I kind of took on a lot of the responsibility in terms of editing. I think the only time Eric had ever helped me with it was because I had work to do. So he gladly, you know, took on that and edited a lot of our shows for us late last year.
Well, because when we first started the podcast, I was working on a master's degree and was literally in a room losing my mind for a year straight.
That could be a little difficult. Just a master's degree. No biggie. That is impressive, man.
It's okay. I feel like Trotsky. The second I left my room, I'm worried that everybody's going to try to kill me.
Well, probably. That's probably accurate.
I mean, we know a couple priests are after him, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. A couple of churches. Not the chicken place.
Churches, couple of fathers.
So what are your goals and your plans for the podcast in general?
Oh, man. See, my dream of all dreams, if my Napoleonic mind lets me get to the point in my world conquering scheme that nobody sets fire to my building. Eventually I'd love to make the 69 Whiskey like production house where we're doing everything from pornography to adult cartoons with adult humor. I'd love to get into animation. I'd love to do a lot of different things.
That's a good idea. Acting pretty cool. What about you, Matt? You on the same boat?
I mean, down the line, yeah. I would also argue like having like a some sort of network for like streaming and shit. That would be cool. I think that'd be a cool thing to add to that sort of production house. I've kind of thinking it in terms of small right now. I have dreams, but I know that the big dreams can't get there without the small accomplishments along the way. So I've kind of gone over a lot of what I've said already in this sense, because I've talked about like working with more shows, being guests on more shows or having guests on our show. Merchandising is definitely something we've both talked about and agree on. And in also, let's see what else. Damn, we just talked about this like 3 weeks ago and I completely blanked out on what I said.
To be honest, I want to do to the adult industry what Disney did to the animation industry.
I like that.
I want to make adult content moderately mainstream. I'm tired of all of this. We need to shelter everyone from every bit of adult content. We've gotten to the point where there's basically tits on TV on a weekly basis. Why are we still worried about this many? Like, I understand we got to protect the kids. But there is such a thing as sheltering them too much.
That is true.
And I think that's why we do the show, most importantly, is because it's basically the same way. And in a way, it's the same thing that you kind of did when you started the show in college. We're just trying to educate people and show them how to have fun and tell them about all this wacky stuff in the world. Yep.
Because boy, oh boy, do I make bad decisions, and other people should absolutely learn from them.
Or they can make fun of you for it, like I do.
I think that's a perfect way to end this episode. This has been great, guys. You guys have been a blast.
This has been so much fun. I'm so glad we finally got to do it. By the way, how are you feeling? I know you had COVID, which is why this kind of got pushed back a little bit.
A lot better. I'm not dying anymore, so that's awesome.
Well, we're glad to see that you're doing well.
Yes. That sucked. COVID sucks.
Like,
I would wish everybody.
I was also going through the same thing last week. It was terrible.
Yeah. It is awful.
I have not caught anything this entire fucking time, and I am shocked. I think my immune system, my immune system must be like the A team.
That is awesome. I wish I had that. I usually get sick once a year, and that was this time just happened to be COVID. I'm like, fuck.
Same. But you know what? I don't think I've been sick in like 2 or 3 years. Knock on wood. But hopefully that keeps going. But
definitely. Let them know where to find you guys at, brothers.
Eric, you want to do this our way?
Because you yell at me all the time for not doing it more aggressively. Mish, housekeeping.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for checking out the Delvin Cox Experience featuring 69 Whiskey. If you want to check out our show, you have a multitude of different ways to do so. You can find us on our Buzzsprout website, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podchaser, the Audia. The Good Pods app, and so many more. If you name it, odds are we are on it. And if you want to leave a rating on the show as well, we'll always read podcast feedback live on air, because if you say something nice to us, we're definitely going to give you the time of day to read out your feedback on the show. As far as social media goes, you can find us and become a part of the 69 Whiskey Army on Twitter by following us at 69 Whiskey Pod. Instagram, 69 Whiskey Podcast, Facebook, the letters RU69 Whiskey, and for gaming content and more, find us on the Twitch channel, 69 Whiskey, and search up 69 Whiskey on YouTube. That's my spiel.
Perfect. Thank you guys for coming on. And as always, Delvin Cox Experience, we are out. Peace. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Delvin Cox Experience. If you like more content, go on patreon.com/Delvin Cox Experience. There is more exclusive podcasts, including I'm the Podcaster, he's the DJ, that is the hip-hop podcast I do with Mr. Tim Hines, as well as the Boondocks, which is a Boondocks review show I do with my son, Delvin Jr. With that being said, I want to give a special shout-out to Patreon producers, Shirley Walker, Ghost Rider UK, and Mikey Famine. Thank you. God bless.